Well, good afternoon again, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling, broadcasting here, still from my home office on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon here in Auckland. And the programme, as always, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. So wherever you're listening tonight, whether it's in Auckland or a Wednesday night, or Christchurch Saturday night, Wellington, Kapiti Coast on Sunday, or any other night of the week, I hope you can sit back and relax over the next hour. We'll bring you all the latest news from Ireland. Lots have been happening since my last programme here on air. And obviously, lots happening here too. Good news in New Zealand. Our cases are all still in quarantine. And but the story is so different in Ireland. But more about that and all the news throughout the next hour here. But we'll start off and the programme tonight with Mary Black and Song for Ireland.
Walking on the day near tall towers where falcons build their nests, silver wings
Mary Black there and a song for Ireland. That was the very first song I played when I started broadcasting back in August 1990. And you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Well, as has been the case over the last probably 8 or 9 months, COVID dominates the news globally, and the latest figures from Ireland are not great. Ireland has been, the numbers in both the south and the north have been increasing at a rapid rate over the last 2 weeks. So there was three deaths today in Ireland and 811 new cases. And in Northern Ireland, there was seven further deaths. In fact, four in the last 24 hours, it said. And there was 863 new cases of COVID-19. And Northern Ireland have recorded three days in a row of over 1,000 cases. So obviously, last week's programme was a music programme. I wasn't around, but the medical officers in Ireland requested that the government and the country go into lockdown level 5 last week, which is basically a complete shutdown. But the government decided not to take their advice, and they basically went to a lockdown level 3, which is like it was here in Auckland. So it's still causing severe restrictions, but they want to keep the schools open. The wet pubs in the west of Ireland and all over Ireland, obviously, unless they can serve people outside, they've got to close again. Restaurants are closed, apart from serving 15 people outside, and many of them just can't afford to do that because with the weather in Ireland at the moment, people aren't coming along to sit outside drinking and having a meal in a cold garden. So obviously, the government and the health officials are monitoring the situation daily, and it's expected that there may be a lockdown of some sort both in Northern Ireland, Southern Ireland inside the coming weeks. There's a midterm break in 2 weeks' time of school holidays, and there was talks that might extend to 2 weeks, but it looks like it's not going to happen. The government want to keep the students at college, and there's a doctor from County Cavan this morning. She was on Morning Ireland, and she said that there's more than 30 patients a day coming to her clinic looking for COVID tests. And she believes that the cases are being driven by large private and public gatherings and a lack of adherence for the public health guidelines. So level 3 at the moment, and everybody's advised, obviously, keep close contacts, you know, to one family, only 6 people visiting. People are not allowed to travel from one county to the next. And there's obviously Dublin, Donegal have been in lockdown a lot longer than the rest of the country. But worrying times ahead. And of course, there's the weather over there is getting colder, it's darker. And moving into winter, it's always a time that there's flus and stuff like that happening. So we are lucky where we are here in New Zealand, but we've all got family and friends in Ireland, and obviously very worried with the way the situation is over there. Well, a sad week 2 weeks ago for the Mulrennan family here, because Paddy's surviving brother Barney in the home place in Ballinaboe in Castle Plunkett in County Roscommon passed away. And again, due to the regulations over there, only a small number of people were able to attend Barney's funeral. So we know that Paddy, regular listener to Ireland Calling here, and Gloria and your family here are still mourning the loss of your brother Barney. So may he rest in peace. And a few weeks ago, I played a dedication here to the late John Griffin. John passed away in August, and tomorrow John will be farewelled. There was a small funeral, obviously, in August for family only, but tomorrow there's a chance for the Irish community in Auckland to attend a mass and a farewell for John at Christ the King Church, 260 Richardson Road in Mount Roskill. That's at 11 o'clock tomorrow, Thursday morning. So both Paddy, who's still alive and well, and John from Irish Town, good West of Ireland men, I thought we'd play The West's Awake in memory of John Griffin and Barney Mulrennan, who died recently.
Come on.
West's Awake there by Lumiere and Damien Dempsey, and you're listening to Ireland Calling. Well, COVID is dominating the news, but there was a budget introduced in the Dáil in Ireland tonight, and obviously lots of the spending, well, quite a bit of it is being spent to help people get over the impacts of COVID. So businesses severely impacted by restrictions are eligible for support of up to €5,000 a week. The wage subsidy, that's going to be extended. So in Budget 21, as is known, €8.5 billion has been allocated for public services to address the challenge of COVID-19, including €2.1 billion in contingency funding. Pensions, a planned increase in the pension age to 67. We're lucky at 65 here on January the 1st will not proceed. I'm pretty sure it's 66 over there. And the living alone allowance will increase by €5 to €19 in January 2021. Social welfare, qualified child payment of €5 for over 12s and €2 for under 12s. A living alone allowance up by €5. Fuel allowance up by €3.50. Very small figures, but I suppose if you're a pensioner and you're watching every pound you spend, this is obviously very important. The pandemic unemployment payment, that's going to continue on until an unspecified time next year. Motoring. Right, well, the Greens are part of the government in Ireland, and everybody was expecting that they were going to have impact into the budget, and sure enough. So carbon tax sees petrol, diesel prices rise. That's happened literally a few hours ago at midnight. VRT, vehicle registration, tax breaks for green vehicles and higher rates for polluting cars. So obviously VRT relief for plug-in hybrid and electric cars. So that's obviously good news there. Health, €4 billion in extra spending funding for COVID testing, PPE, extra hospital beds, and 38 million for a national mental health strategy. What else? All reliables, 50 cents hike on the packet of cigarettes. For your packet of 20 cigarettes are now €14. No change in the price to alcohol tax. Obviously, Brexit, the budget is framed on the basis of a no-deal Brexit between the European Union and the UK. So the department estimates that the absence of such a deal will reduce Irish growth by just under 3% next year, which is huge, with an expected growth next year of just less than 2%. There'll be €340 million in voted expenditure will be spent on Brexit supports. Education, €2 billion to support children with special education needs. Well, that's good news. Additional 990 special needs assistants, an extra 403 special education teachers and 145 school building projects will be delivered. And housing and homelessness, the Help to Buy scheme will be extended till 2021. But like here, there's still huge areas of huge shortage of houses in Ireland. And the government says it's committed to the country becoming climate neutral by 2050. So the carbon tax will increase by £7.50 per tonne from €26 to €33 a tonne. And this will be applied onto auto fuels from tonight. Obviously, that's upsetting a lot of people in the farming agricultural sector. And tourism, obviously, the government have reduced the VAT rate from 23 to 21. They did that in June. That'll run till February. But a further reduction is going to take place to help the hospitality. This will come into effect on the 1st of November, reducing the rate in hospitality from 13.5% down to 9%. And finally, agriculture, €1.8 billion to the Department of Agriculture will include funding for the controls of for agri-food imports and exports in relation to Brexit. So there's the key points of the budget. We're getting ready for a general election here on Saturday, and of course the Irish people voted just before COVID in their general election, and it took nearly 4 months for government to be formed, and this is the first budget they brought in, which obviously will please some people and be disappointment to other people. Okay, we'll bang along here with a little bit of traditional music here. Yes, that's a nice bit of lively music there. And if you've tuned in, welcome along. You're listening to Ireland Calling. We've got about 23 minutes gone. We'll go back to some of the other stories making the news in Ireland. Well, after we've gone through COVID, we've gone through the budget. Of course, the other issue that happened 2 weeks ago, there was an issue with the aggregated grades for some students in the Leaving Cert. There was a problem with the system that they had, obviously allocating grades to students. And it was thought at one stage it could have affected 6,500 students. But anyway, it wasn't that bad. There was about 410 students whose grades were affected that got into the courses that were their number one choices. And the government seemed to have got over that issue all right. They want to keep the students in school, which is very, very important. And obviously, you know, the research shows that the COVID is not spreading through schools. It's more house gatherings, parties and stuff like that. Still an issue for the judge, Supreme Court Judge Seamus Wolfe, who attended the golfing event in Connemara back in August. Of course, that caused the resignation of the senior minister, Dara Khalidi, straight away, the head of the Shannon Buttermore. And who else went as well? The, what do you call it? The European Commissioner, Phil Hogan, along with a number of other people, resigned their positions. But Seamus Wolfe stood his ground, and the former Chief Justice, Susan Dinham, did an investigation in and interviewed him, and that report was published last week. And he didn't help himself with some of the comments he made about the media and about events that took place on the day, and said he wasn't really aware of what was happening in Ireland that particular time because he was on holidays and he travelled down from Donegal. But anyway, he was looked like the former Chief Justice said it was up to the current Chief Justice to decide what, obviously, punishment, if any, should be metered out. But he hasn't actually met Chief Justice Frank Clark at the moment. The meeting has been postponed three times, and it looks like that, obviously, Wolfe knows that the writing is on the wall. This is a former Attorney General. He was only appointed as Supreme Court judge a few weeks ago. That obviously he feels that there was a vendetta against him and some of the other people, but that's not the way it's seen in the media. So Seamus Wolfe given ultimatum after postponing the Golfgate meeting for a third time. So if I was a betting man, I'd say that his time as a Supreme Court judge could be coming to a very quick end before it even gets off. But the issue is for him, once you're a Supreme Court judge, you're not allowed, if you retire, to go back practicing as a barrister. And maybe this is something that he's trying to sort out with the judiciary before he makes a decision of whether he'll resign. But it looks like that that's the only option that's open to him. When we come back, we'll have a look at the sports pages, and sadly, not a lot of good news for Irish soccer fans as a result of Ireland's match last week against Slovakia.
We've got education. Dublin airport. On the boat that leaves Northwall, there'll be no youth unemployment anymore. Because we're over here in Queensland and in parts of New South Wales, we're on the seas and airways and the trains. But if we see better days, we'll see airplanes go both ways, and we'll all be coming back to you again.
Yes, that's the Flight of Earls there, and that's Dublin City Ramblers and the Flight of Earls, and that song was a big hit 33 years ago when I set sail from Ireland, 33 years ago next Friday on the 16th of October 87, I set sail from Shannon to New York. And I know we've got listeners in America, Seamus Smith from Ballybor in Cavan, regular listener, and I remember meeting up with Seamus. He was working in a bar called Liquid Acids down there in Stone Street, and met him, went down to see him on the 19th of October because the lad I was supposed to work with, a Cavan man, failed to turn up. There was a big celebration the day before after the Gaelic football final in New York. But anyway, he turned up the next day. But on the 19th of October, I went down to visit my good friend Seamus, and while he was working in his busy bar, I went for a bit of a look around, and Wall Street was the day that that 87 crash happened. And little did I know the impact it was going to have around the globe. But anyway, that was back in 1987, 33 years ago, next Friday, that I left Ireland and headed off. Anyway, here I am. I got to New Zealand a few years later, and broadcasting Ireland Calling on a Wednesday night in Auckland, Saturday Christchurch, and Sunday in Wellington and Kapiti Coast. The programme brought to you along with the support of the Hugh Green Group. While Ireland's chances of qualifying for Euro 2020, which has taken place in June 2021, may not take place, who knows? They had one last shot. They were playing Slovakia last Thursday, and a win would have saw them through to the next round to take on the winner between Northern Ireland and Bosnia. And alas, it went down to penalties, and they lost out on penalty in a penalty shootout. But there was lots of drama because one of the backroom team was diagnosed or had a positive test for COVID. Negative test before they left Ireland, but a positive test when they got to Slovakia. And because two of the key players were in close contact to him, they were ruled out of the game just a few minutes before the game was due to start. So they were probably a big loss. But as it turned out afterwards, the guy that had the positive test, it ended up being a negative test. So there was a fair bit of obviously something not right within the testing process. But anyway, Ireland lost, Northern Ireland won. So Northern Ireland now will take on Slovakia in a winner-takes-all game in Belfast. And of course, if Ireland had got through to Euros next year just by qualifying, you get a payout of about $8.5 million. Of course, $1.5 million of that was going to go to Mick McCarthy, even though, yes, Mick McCarthy was a former manager, but because he left before Ireland had either qualified or didn't qualify for Euro, part of his contract when he signed it up with the former CEO, John Delaney, was that if Ireland qualified for Euros, he would get a bonus of €1.5 million. So Mick probably was the most upset man last week when he saw his bonus not coming through. So there you go. That was the soccer. Football league begins to restart this weekend. Of course, no crowds. And back in early March was the last round of games that were played. So there's two rounds to go. This will decide who gets promoted, relegated. And then the All-Ireland Championships are going to take place. But take a team like Fermanagh. 17 of the squad were out with COVID last week. So the Fermanagh manager was pleading with the authorities for their game with Clare to be postponed this weekend, whether or not that will happen. And yes, Jimmy's winning matches. Well, Jimmy McGuinness turned up in Tuam last week and was seen giving some tips to the Galway football team as they prepare to take on Mayo next week in Tuam. And somebody videoed Jimmy showing a few of his moves to the Galway players, and the video went viral around the globe within a few hours. Pádraic Joyce, who's a good friend of Jimmy McGuinness, invited him down just for a few hours to have a chat to the team to give them a bigger insight into training. And he was very disappointed that somebody in the living in an upstairs bedroom or house overlooking Tuam Stadium decided to video a bit of the training session and put it up online. But anyway, it was only a one-off session that Jim was doing with the Galway team. Right, we'll head off again here and we'll see what we've got. This is the Immigrants Farewell by Muireann Ní Amhlaidh.
Our ship, she is ready to sail away, and it's come my sweet comrade o'er stormy sea. Our snow-white wings are all
Yeah, Yeah, that's a song called The Immigrant's Farewell by Miron Ní Amhlaidh, and you're listening to Ireland Calling. Let's go and have a look at the Farmers Independent on Tuesday. Hopefully it's downloaded to my system here, because I'm just looking at all the other papers, and I have to say, it's COVID, it's budget, and wall-to-wall type stuff, and there's only so much of it you can take. So let's see what the Farming Independent said yesterday. Well, there's a picture here. One tractor, one county, one mission. Farmer and massage therapist Paddy Kelly from Castletown, County Leash, will be donning his Batman outfit for a Halloween tractor challenge to raise funds for cancer research. He plans to travel 250 kilometres and circumnavigate Leash in one day with his 9062 Massey Ferguson 35X. So good man, Paddy. Rollover budget will ring fence funds for existing farm schemes. And obviously this paper came out the day before, or the day of the budget. Brexit reality dawns for potato growers. The potato trade has been warned to have all seed potatoes for next year's crop imported from Britain by the 31st of December. A trade notice issued by the Department of Agriculture said imports of certified seed and where potatoes from Britain will be prohibited from the end of 2020 until the UK leaves the European Union. Budget here will be about protecting against a hard Brexit. Yeah, we went through some of the headlines and that there. And again, masks being worn at marts around the country. Picture here of Jake Fox from Carrick and Shure wearing a visor and a face mask as he runs his eye over some Suffolk lamb hoggets at the Monster Ram Sale in Blessington Mart last week. What else is happening here? Looking at some of the headlines, not many pictures of farmers outside because the weather hasn't been great over the last few weeks. You'll have to look after yourself first. No farmer's worth running yourself down for. Sligo farmer Nigel Flannery lived in silence with depression for 30 years. And the experience took him right to the brink. But after confronting the problem, he's urging other farmers to seek help if they're dealing with a mental illness issue. And certainly it's a tough time for farmers. Any time of the year, you know, I know it's tougher this year with COVID, but it's you're out there on your own a lot of the time. And sometime, especially from now until next year, April in Ireland, the weather is dark, the days are dark. And you're feeding a lot of cattle. And if you're on your own, it can be quite hard. Other farmer here, this farmer has cut inputs to bring biology back into the soil. Kildare tillage farmer Andrew Bergen is looking to make his soils healthier by using less inputs, fertilisers and stuff like that. Farm business flying high along the Wild Atlantic Way. You've got Tom and David Boyd who farm in the Ross's area of Donegal, and the brothers run a mixed farm including a herd of 40 suckler cattle. I take lots of photographs which keep people engaged and generates more traffic on our Facebook page, according to the Boyd brothers there. And my neighbour's getting cold feet over our land deal, and now he wants his money back. What are my options? So you've got a legal page there in the Farming Independent, so we're not sure what's happening there. And here's a man up in Tullow in County Carlow, Sean O'Brien country, cultivating a field, getting it ready to sow winter barley. And our dependence on chemicals to control BYDV is a high-risk strategy. So that BYDV is the barley yellow dwarf virus. Obviously, it's a bad virus, but obviously the pesticides they're using could have some issues. And finally, four steps to boosting performance in weaning bull finishing systems. Forage quality, good healthy herd, soft landing and housing, them are the key points. Right, go back, play another bit of music here and see what we've lined up for you next. And this is a song that's sung normally by Luke Kelly, but this is Sinéad O'Connor's version of Score Not His Simplicity.
Do we know?
Brilliant song there, Scorn Not His Simplicity, sung there by Sinead O'Connor, song written by Phil Coulter, and obviously a big hit for the late Luke Kelly. And you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. So wherever you're listening tonight, I hope you're enjoying the programme. Beautiful day here in Auckland. We had a decent amount of rain yesterday, but need a lot more if we're to avoid having rain shortages or water, having to have restrictions on water use here over the coming months. If you just tuned in, the main headlines in the Irish newspapers today is the fact that there was a budget has been introduced today, which 6.5 billion of it, or is it 8.5 billion, is really putting into helping the country combat the effects of COVID-19. And obviously COVID-19, new cases today in Ireland were 811 and 3 deaths, and over 800 people in Northern Ireland as well. I was just reading one report there over the last few minutes, says that maybe Northern Ireland might have to go into a lockdown for 2 weeks, full lockdown, and that might be the case for the neighbouring counties, Donegal and Monaghan and Cavan, and possibly Louth, the four counties that are bordering the northern counties, as a result of the huge numbers of cases of COVID, especially in the border areas. Belfast, the numbers are quite high there as well. Obviously, on the sporting front, disappointment for Ireland, having not got to the final game with a chance to qualify for Euro 2020, which will be taking place, if all goes well, in 2021. And, of course, a number of games were going to be played in Dublin. So if Ireland had qualified, there was a chance that they could end up playing one of their home games in Dublin, or possibly two. Good news for Dundalk. They've qualified to the next round for the Europa Cup, and that's worth $3 million to their club. So at least good news there. And hopefully they'll get all that money. In a previous life, a previous CEO of the Football Association of Ireland seemed to have got that money and given back to the club in drips and drabs, but kept a bit for the FAI. But I think Dundalk will be looking forward to getting that money themselves, and what a great boost that is, because I think if to win the league in Ireland you get about €100,000, so getting that amount of money is fantastic. Thank you. That's the Chieftains there, and a lovely instrumental piece called Carlin's Concerto, and that is almost tedious. Go back, Charles Foster, and well, we might play that song for you if you like it, the Crystal Chandeliers, to end the programme tonight. But you've been listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group, and I hope wherever you're listening, you've enjoyed the programme, whether it's here in Auckland and New Zealand on a Wednesday night, our delayed broadcast going out in Christchurch on Saturday night, Wellington and Capley Coast on Sunday afternoon, or on the internet on planetaudio.nz around New Zealand and around the globe. Thanks again to the Hugh Green Group, and thank you for tuning in. And we'll go out tonight with, I'll have to talk for another minute here if I've got to play that particular song. But we might go out, Daniel O'Donnell, Home to Donegal. What about that?
The lights of London are far behind. The thoughts of homeland are crowding my mind. Familiar places come into view. I see my home now, soon I'll see you. We'll talk to the old folk, they're getting on. Treat them to late nights, sing a few songs. We'll talk of neighbors and life in the town. There's so much to tell them, the days fly around. This is my homeland, the place I was born. No matter where I go, it's in my soul. My feet may wander a thousand places, but my heart will lead me back home to my Donegal. We'll take a walk down to St. Mary's, to a sheltered spot. We'll kneel and pray.